There are a few things in the galaxy that strike terror into the heart of a Hutton trucker. Maybe docking denied when they're desperate to use the loo. Or maybe the realization that they'd left their mug back in their quarters at the orbital and were about to embark on a rescue operation for a system in outbreak. Or possibly the noise of an empty Centauri Mega Gin bottle makes when you put it down when you've got guests coming. Or a sink that needs unblocking. But all of these pale into near insignificance when compared with the latest terror to reach Hutton pilots. The sound, and it's been a while since it's been heard in the bubble, of Graham Snuggles McKeague's awfully big klaxon. Imagine the scene. You're going about your daily Hutton business, maybe hopping from planet to planet, sticking your thingy out at the latest absurdly shaped and obviously rude piece of exobiology. You jump back in your SRV, and the next thing you know, there are flashing lights and alarms going off everywhere. Or you're peacefully flying around an asteroid belt looking for palladium, or painite, with a side order of bertrandite. And then your seat starts vibrating with the silent alarm, before all the hatches slam shut and then the klaxon goes off. All at the same time as your seismic charges turn that really big space rock into a much smaller set of space rocks. Yes. It's war. We're not shocked there is one. It happens. Someone decides they don't like fluffy belly rubs and a wet nose, and instead wants to go all gold thrones and whips and chains. Or maybe they quite like the idea of being run by a committee. The kind of committee that never votes against the person in charge. Anyway, that's not the alarming bit. The alarming bit is that given that the first one to four wins a war, we've let it get far enough that we're 3-2 down. Or we were last time we looked. And the location? Well, you'll have to check in later in the bulletin when we have a report from our stunt stand-in roving reporter. When, of course, they've deciphered Chicks' notes and had a quick costume change after the klaxon caused a full brown alert.
To add to federal candidate and incumbent President Hudson's wars, there are reports that a number of formerly federal systems surrounding Sol have opened investigations and, having drawn immediate conclusions, closed them again with a slam into Hudson's financial affairs. It isn't often broadcast or remembered, but there are corners of Hutton space that were once owned by the Federation, and after they left, boxes and boxes of data slates, printouts and information were left in all sorts of strange places. Under the stairs, strewn all over the docking bays, stuffed behind the toilet, you name it. In their hurry to leave after losing their deposit and in fear of the squads of biomechanically enhanced cyborg Momus Bug Spaniel security officers roaming the station looking for dissenters, they appear to have left most of Hutton's bank statements behind. It's only now, years later, and after detailed forensic study of these documents, that Hutton can exclusively reveal that Hudson, federal president, was hiding quite a number of skeletons in his closets. Some of the main discoveries relate to backhander payments to local pirate factions for services rendered, with the subtext, "Re-Operation No Mugs Please, We're Federal." Then of course there appears to be the ongoing payments from a company called Big Red Bubble, marked genuine, not a knockoff or robbed Hutton mugs, appearing to line his pockets with vast amounts of cash at the expense of the many hundreds who benefit from Hutton generosity. And finally, hidden behind the bank statements are a series of records that show President Hudson has inflated just about everything he could get his hands on. His bank balance, a couple of purchases from wonders called Justin and Chantal, with startled expressions on their faces and complete with puncture repair kits, his height. He claims he's just shy of 7 feet tall and that any pictures that don't show it are clearly just taken from an awkward angle or when he's standing in a 2-foot hole in the ground. Oh, and his ego. He appeared to have that surgically inflated, something which of course has left him with the bloated sense of self-importance that his voters know and love, or else. We've submitted copies of all these documents to the overseeing authority for the forthcoming federal elections. We put a stamp on them and everything.
Too Hot Too Messy has reached week... Who wrote this? Has reached week 60 weeks, it says here. I think I'll start that again. Too Hot Too Messy has reached week 60. And although we haven't cracked 100,000 deliveries yet, we're closing in. Current stats put us at just over 97,000 mugs and 96,000 gen. God, that's a lot of places that don't allow gen. Commander Chicks continues his tour and on the edges of known space, spending time in La Rochelle eating gastropods by the little yellow truckload, scoffing anatidae parts, and of course, the various aperitifs which accompany said delicacies. Galweb access is notoriously unreliable in that part of the bubble, so we thought we'd leave him to it. There are no new additions to the 1000 Club again this week, but Norbert Patenard is doing a bang-up job and has overtaken Stereo MD to be our closest candidate. 299 commanders have contributed to the effort so far. Go on, why don't you become number 300? Zulu Romeo has really pulled out the stops this week, moving from 203rd place to 113th place for mug deliveries this week, at a jump of 90 positions. Nice work, Commander. Now, if we could just get Alex Zuno to take her eyes off the crosshairs for a moment, she could deliver just one mug and move from 297th place to 283rd. Or she could do the full Hadji and jump about 100 places by delivering just 24 mugs. Light traffic approaching Hutton this week. If you are popping out for some mugs and gin, you will get green lights all the way and you should have no problems with parking. This week's Hutton stats, Hutton run stats are Steve King with two runs at 1 hour 24 minutes and 15 seconds, Norbert Patenard at 1 hour 24 minutes 36 seconds, and Core Badger at 1 hour 34 minutes and 10 seconds.
The latest Gull Tube sensation has been hitting social media channels this week, and copies have already been found strewn around the galaxy's data terminals and hiding on little data sticks in cupboards on atmospheric and barren worlds throughout the bubble. Whilst cat videos have been a thing for hundreds of years, clogging up even the most casual of browsing of popular videos and recommendations on GalTube, Galbook and Galtwat, plus the now defunct InstaSpam and Ribbit, the latest sensation has kicked off a new wave of enthusiasm for feline shenanigans. Yes, Mooncake has hit the big time. The first video, Mooncake Meets the Postie, boasted a few tens of millions of views and made Mooncake an instant millionaire, which, given that almost everyone in the galaxy has a few billions, isn't much, but it'll keep her in kibble for quite a while. Whether it's appropriate to laugh at a 200-kilo spotted cat dropping from a tree onto the unsuspecting postie's head before very playfully attempting to relieve him of things of great importance, like his insides, most of his skin, clothes, and of course his post bag, is an important question, but not one for this channel. Follow-ups include Mooncake Takes the Bus, and Cats in Space!
Welcome to the BGS update. Well, it's hard to know where to start, really. Oh, I know! How about the bin fire that is WISE 0844-0715, with Boom, Civil Liberty, Terrorism, and Expansion all at once, is busier than a system that size has any right to be. I mean, it's sitting at 66%, but I expect the expansion will bring that down. The thing is, where will we expand to? Will it land us somewhere with a lovely Earth-like world and one of those stations that's all white inside with palm trees and the docks? Or will it be some dump with end-to-end ice worlds, an asteroid field full of pirates and Bertrandite, and a mining station that looks like an overfilled skip and smells of stale farts? I think we know, don't we? Yeah, turns out we're in La Rochelle. Which sounds like some water, some backwater bayou town, but it's exactly where it is. With a gas giant, a single high metal content world, and two, count them, two industrial outposts. I don't think we'll be pursuing that one anyway, but since it's already owned by the Equestrian Naval Fleet, we'll definitely leave this one alone. Equestrian Naval Fleet. Is that like horse-drawn Type 9s? Can you get a spacesuit for horses? Anyway, other high rollers are LHS 340, Leuten 145-141, PSPF LF2, Wolf 359 and Wolf 562. It's all about the boom and expansion this week. Well, it was. At the bottom end of the Hutton systems are, well, a lot of stuff. The noteworthy ones are Bamler Star on 36%, but currently dealing with civil liberty, expansion, infrastructure failure, and investment. I can't be sure what that means, but I suspect they'll need lots of stuff, and someone's always willing to pay you to bring it in. Epsilon Indy and Stein 2051 could also do with a bit of work to keep them afloat. For Colonia, Grand Moff Hankey says, work in Tyr and Eriso. So, if you want to shoot something, everyone's at war in Ross 671, which Cuddles McKeag mentioned earlier, and there's another little war in LHS 3531. If you want to truck stuff, then most of our systems are in boom, so help yourself, as long as you avoid those high roller systems. That's all.